So on the fourth floor of a building on ASU's Tempe campus, in a kind of back hallway, there's a bank of roughly a dozen freezers, some commercial grade, but many like the one in your kitchen. These freezers don't hold employees' lunches or even frozen organs to study. In fact, I'm going to let Rolf Halden explain what's in them. He's the director of the Center for Environmental Security at the Biodesign Institute at ASU.
We have here at Arizona State University the largest collection of sewage sludges probably for the United States, representing some 200 cities.
Yup, freezers and freezers full of sewage sludge. To answer the obvious question, no, it doesn't smell, it's all frozen. And to answer the next obvious question, why, Halden says the samples can give lots of clues about cities and the people who live in them.
So rather than looking at physical materials that go into the city, we now measure, you know, the signatures of human activities in the city. And that's very exciting because by taking these samples, we essentially get real-time information, what people eat, what they drink, what they smoke, what they inhale. All this type of information is now accessible and very inexpensively so using this instrumentation.
Halden says there are automated samplers at wastewater treatment plants across the country. Those samples are constantly sent to the lab where they're analyzed, usually within a day. The samples are, by the way, anonymous. Halden wouldn't even tell me any of the cities from which the sludge comes. But he says it can be extremely helpful to researchers.
We look at wastewater as a matrix that resembles blood, so it's the lifeblood of the city. All the chemistry that goes into the city and that is produced in the city is reflected in the wastewater. And so when we analyze the wastewater, we get information on atmospheric deposition from dust. We get the excreta from people, right, urine, stool, and so forth. And then we get industrial effluent. So we have a fingerprint of all the activities that occur in the city. And that provides us an opportunity to understand what we are doing and what types of risks and hazards are available. And these are not just chemicals. We also can analyze biological agents. So we can analyze viruses and bacteria. And that obviously has great advantages because we can pinpoint problems when there's only, you know, very low levels of these biological agents. And so we can take steps and design interventions for the city to reduce the risk of an epidemic, for example, of a viral infection or the occurrence of antibiotic-resistant infections in the population.
Is this a more honest way to find out about people's behaviors also? I mean, you ask somebody, do you smoke, do you take drugs? They might say no. You look at their samples, those don't lie, right?
There's two major differences with respect to how we get our information. Other folks rely on statistics, which are typically delayed. And so our advantage is we get real-time information, and it is very hard data in the sense that the chemistry doesn't lie. Our sewage doesn't lie, but you know, if you ask people questions about very personal things like their alcohol consumption, whether they smoke and so forth, sometimes their job relies on this, whether they take drugs. They are not inclined to give you an honest answer. But again, the chemistry doesn't lie.
You're able to see a lot of sort of the bad stuff that is in us. Are you able to track through these samples good stuff, if people are exercising, what their diet is like, things like that?
Yeah, that's exciting too. So it's not just that we identify problems. We also can see improvements. We can measure chemical markers for meat and also for healthy diet choices.
It sounds like this would be enormously helpful data to local health officials and sort of policymakers to know if they're trying, for example, an anti-tobacco initiative. This is a good way to judge if it's working.
Personally, I believe this is the future of how we manage public health. I think if we begin to analyze what is happening in real time and begin to influence behavior in our cities, we can improve public health and not have healthy people become sick. Instead, you know, we can have early prevention and intervention and keep the healthy healthy and pay much less for health care.
So I have to ask you at least one sophomore question, which is, when you tell people what it is that you do for a living, what kinds of things do you hear?
I typically get smiles and a disbelief that this can be done. But once you start explaining what's happening and you show the analogy between, you know, a city and the wastewater treatment plant and the human body and, you know, and the gut and the, you know, similarities in the biology in there, the microbiology, it does make sense to people, and it certainly makes sense to us. And it's an exciting area to work in.
Halden says his is also a more cost-effective way to get this kind of information, since researchers can measure the exposure of hundreds of thousands of people in a single sample, usually within a day or so. Halden says this field, called urban metabolism, aims to create a human health observatory, which could help researchers, city leaders, and residents.